President Biden met with civil rights groups yesterday to discuss voter suppression efforts following the demise of the Democrats' Voting Rights Act in the Senate last week. Meanwhile, Republican state lawmakers in Texas are renewing their effort to pass restrictive new voting laws in that state, part of a nationwide trend unfolding since the 2020 election. Democrats are accusing Republicans of undermining democracy with those new laws, but our next guest says the problem with American democracy goes even deeper. Osita Nwanevu is a writer for The New Republic. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Osita, you write that the broader project of saving American democracy is doomed for one fairly straightforward reason. America is not a democracy. At the federal level, we simply don't have a democratic system to save. Bold statement there. What do you mean exactly?
Right. So obviously, I think that the efforts to protect voting rights that we're seeing happen in Congress right now, the For the People Act, other alternative proposals that have been advanced, all of those are very important. But I don't think they could be reasonably characterized as legislation that's actually going to save a functional democracy. I think that we're in the place we're in this country, and to a large extent because our democratic institutions, our institutions that we believe are democratic, are actually pretty faulty. The reason why the For the People Act hasn't passed in the first place is that we have a Senate that grants a disproportionate amount of power to certain states. On top of that, we have a filibuster rule that is inherently undemocratic. So, you know, if it weren't for those things, we might have already developed a real solution to the rollback of voting rights we're seeing across the country.
Well, you say that the outcomes that we get from our federal institutions often don't align with public opinion. But I guess what I'm wondering is whether some of that is just the way our government has been structured from the beginning, because if we use the strictest definition of democracy, we might just put every issue on a ballot and let the will of the people decide. But that's not how we do things, right? We elect representatives to use their own judgment. And sometimes, for better and for worse, they make decisions that don't align with popular opinion.
Oh, I think that's absolutely the way the system has been designed from the very beginning. The argument that I'm making is that the design from the very beginning has been fundamentally flawed in ways that I think are only becoming more and more obvious now. And these are things that we've sort of rationalized to ourselves over the years. But they created very real disparities, and they've really frustrated, I think, policy progress on a lot of issues. Most Americans want to see something done on climate change in Washington. That hasn't happened. Gun control. Most Americans want to see a gun control bill of some kind pass. Hasn't happened. Raising taxes on the wealthy. Most Americans support that. Hasn't happened. I mean, you can go down the list. The real problem here is that we have a set of institutions in the United States, they're actually unusually undemocratic and unusually constraining of policies that the majority of the electorate really wants.
Yeah, you run through that list from climate change to gun control where there's a clear majority opinion, and that's not the outcome that you get in the Congress because of Republican lawmakers. I'm wondering whether you think Democrats have also been guilty of enacting policies that don't match public sentiment. I'm thinking, for example, of the push for same-sex marriage. You know, most of the progress on that issue came from courts that were ruling against the will of the majority at the time. Same-sex marriage consistently lost on ballot measures in the aughts. Now, 70% of Americans support same-sex marriage today, according to Gallup, but most people opposed it when these legal battles were playing out. So are progressives picking and choosing when it's okay to go against what the majority wants?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's absolutely true that at the time, same-sex marriage was much more of a controversial issue than it's become in the last couple of years. In fact, it's really extraordinary the extent to which public opinion has changed. But I think in any democratic system, you also have a set of rights that are sort of detached from the democratic process. We say that we can contest certain things over here, the implementation of certain policies, the size and scope of government, and those kinds of things. But we also say to ourselves, look, there's a Bill of Rights, there are amendments that have conferred more and more rights, basic rights to all classes of people in our society. And those things can't really be adjudicated by the democratic system. If you want to actually implement changes there, you often do have to appeal to existing jurisprudence, the Constitution. And I think that's absolutely fine. But I do think that in the areas where people really do expect dynamism and real policy change, you know, basic climate action, we can disagree on what that might look like, but most people think that something ought to be done. Same thing with gun control. Those kinds of issues where you expect Washington to be working on a regular basis, Washington hasn't been. And I think that's ultimately because, again, we have these institutions that are really sclerotic in ways that have become really, really disturbing to a lot of people.
Well, just to underscore the stakes, Osita, this week the president called the January 6th insurrection an existential crisis for democracy. Do you think he has a window of opportunity to do anything about it, or do you think his hands are tied, regardless of whether he believes that this is a crisis moment for our democracy?
Well, I mean, I think that we could be hearing more from the president about the fundamental obstacle here, which is the legislative filibuster. Ultimately, that is the real obstacle here. There is a window, for sure. It's just a matter of whether the caucus can unite and tell itself that its agenda, not just the For the People Act, but the rest of its agenda, is worth sort of changing the institution of the Senate.
Well, I think you're hitting on a key point here, because there has long been this divide within the Democratic Party between more progressive folks who have railed against the party establishment, saying that they're beholden to corporate interests. But now you're also hearing from somebody like the president saying democracy is under attack. And Joe Biden, I think most liberals would agree, has long been part of the Democratic establishment. So there is some consensus building there.
Right.
What do you see unfolding?
Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, I think that there's what I'm seeing right now in on the Senate side is really kind of stasis. I don't think that there's a path to passing the For the People Act without dealing with the filibuster. Republicans just haven't been on board. So I think it's ultimately going to hinge on the filibuster question. And I think it's important for people to understand that this is not just a sort of progressives against the establishment issue. You're right. There's a real threat to voting rights happening here. But there isn't consensus on what needs to happen to actually pass something. So yeah, I can't really tell you what I expect to happen. I hope that we see a shift in the coming months, but I don't know that the rhetorical groundwork is being laid by the president or anyone else to sort of explain to the American people why this isn't passing and what ought to be done in order to pass it.
Osita Wenevu is a writer for The New Republic. Osita, thank you for talking democracy with us.
Thank you again for having me.